podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Strong still having a look. It slightly favours the right footer here, but Griffiths, having got the goal, goes again.
Ringfinder tries it, don't know. Long we over. Oh, what a goal! What a goal!
Fletcher! Lucius McCullough saved it in. Barry Ferguson.
Does this again.
Well, this is exciting for the Hampden Roar podcast. It's Andy Barge here along with Gordon Sheark and John Bleasdale once again off the bench after his impressive cameo a couple of weeks ago following the Moldova game. And we're here to preview Scotland's potential opponents in the World Cup playoff next March. Scotland are seeded, remember, after that tremendous win over Denmark in the final match day of the qualification campaign, which means that we will avoid in the semi-final anyway the likes of Italy, Portugal, Russia, Wales and Sweden. But it means that we can still have some tricky ties, or will still have a tricky tie, generally speaking, with Turkey, Poland, North Macedonia, Ukraine, Czech Republic and Austria lying in wait for any of the seeded teams. So what we're going to do is just have a look at each country's recent form, their danger men, recent meetings with Scotland, if there have been any, and just generally look forward to what is an exciting time, Gordon. How are you feeling about it? We're recording this on Tuesday evening, so 2 full days still to go.
I feel great. I mean, this is just such an exciting time for the national team, isn't it? You know, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine there's been quite a lot of people signing up to the Scotland Supporters Club in the last week or so to make sure that they guarantee themselves a ticket for Scotland's home semi-final. I think, on reflection, you know, I was certainly trying to make sure everyone was just aware of how big a deal it was just getting in the playoffs anyway. Forget the seeding. If we're not unseeded, it'll be okay. We're there and that's the important thing. But really, it's been so important to get that seeding. I mean, when you look at the teams that have dropped in, you look at Portugal, you look at Italy, you look at Russia, and we get a Hampden game and you saw Israel and Denmark, they'll tell you what a sold-out Hampden can do for the opposition. So this is really, really exciting. And again, what's really exciting is that we've got a decent amount of time to keep this buzz going, keep this optimism, keep this positivity, watch our boys excel in their club game for a few months. But yeah, all looks to Friday, and let's hope we get some good draws.
Well, if somebody was to line up an identity parade for me and ask me to pick out someone who said they weren't bothered about the seeding or not, I'm looking right at him. It's John Bleasdale there at the bottom of my screen. Have you changed your tune, John?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Especially when you see teams that are there, and you know, as we said last time, you want to get greedy. You don't want to just settle on the playoffs. You want to try and get that, you know, seeding if possible. And I know I was a bit flipping about it, but deep down I was like, we've got to beat Denmark.
Well, the way that it panned out when we were recording that episode after the Moldova game. In my living room, Portugal v Serbia was on in the background and we were expecting Portugal to go on and get the winner. And then 10 minutes after we stopped recording, Mitrovic scored and all of a sudden that set the heather alight for the seeded teams and the unseeded teams straight away. So yeah, we really don't know what to predict. And I think someone actually was in my mentions today saying that we can't look too far ahead to the final because who knows what's going to happen. Last year, we were all expecting Norway and Serbia went over to Oslo and produced the goods and came away with the win. So yeah, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe we'll meet a fellow unseeded, or not a fellow unseeded team, sorry, doing us a disservice. Maybe we'll meet an unseeded team in the final. Who knows what's going to happen? But anyway, we'll run through the teams that Scotland could draw on Friday. The draw is taking place for Scotland. It's Turkey, Poland, North Macedonia, Ukraine, Czech Republic and Austria. And just to confuse you all, I'm not going to do it in that order because I've prepared my notes in a completely different way than the Tartan Scarf's tweet, which outlined all the potential paths that Scotland could take. So the first one that I have notes on, guys, and we'll come to is Ukraine. So Ukraine cannot be drawn. This is quite a big thing, actually, for how it might pan out for not just Scotland, but anyone involved in the playoffs. Ukraine can't be drawn in the same quartet as Russia due to political differences, I believe, and potential warfare. So the path that Ukraine get drawn in will be different to Russia's. So if Ukraine are drawn with us, immediately that increases the likelihood, especially if it's early on in the draw, Gordon, that we will be be facing either Portugal or Italy if we were to beat them, as that means that because Russia can't be in our quartet, someone else has to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely spot on, and I don't like that pairing very much at all. I've actually ranked my semi-final opponents in terms of how much I would like to face them or not, and I've actually got Ukraine as my second worst option.
Why is that?
I think, admittedly, I mean, they only won two games in qualifying, which doesn't seem great. They drew six. They haven't lost, you know. And I think really they strike me as a kind of opponent. I was able to see them firsthand in the last 16 game at the Euros at Hampden against Sweden when they went through with basically the last kick of the game. And yeah, their form since the Euros, since obviously getting beaten by England, you know, they've not lost a game, and they've taken a draw against France since then. They also drew with France earlier in the group. I don't like the look of them. I think they could be very tricky opponents for us.
With Ukraine, they were beaten in the quarterfinals of Euro 2020. England put them out, I think, quite comfortably in the end in the quarterfinal, wasn't it? Because they had gone all the way against Sweden in the phase before that. But in the Euros themselves, in the group stage, Ukraine went through as one of the best third place finishers. Holland romped that group. Austria were second on 6 points. We'll come to them shortly. And North Macedonia, another potential opponent for Scotland, finished bottom of that group. So three potential opponents here for Scotland were in Group C of the Euros in the summer. They did get their win, Ukraine, against North Macedonia, beaten by the other two. And then, John, Ukraine won against Sweden, who are a seeded team in this draw. They knocked Sweden out of the Euros in the first knockout stage with a last-minute goal, which was actually a really exciting game. I was there like Gordon. I have to say, though, I think Sweden were the better team that night, and it's one person that we don't need to worry about for the semi-final anyway is Emil Forsberg. He was tremendous at hand in that evening, didn't deserve to be on the losing side. Do Ukraine scare you as much as they seem to scare Gordon?
No, so I'm roles reversed to Gordon. He's got them second worst. I've got them my second best option. I know they did well to get in the playoffs, but there's just something about them that I'm not overly impressed with. I think their run to the quarterfinals was almost fortuitous. As you say, they were one of the best of the third place sides. You know, they only won one game out of three. You know, I thought they carried a lot of luck against Sweden. I think Sweden had some injuries in the game as well, if I remember rightly. But, you know, they done well to get through. Against England, they were terrible. And, you know, they limped through their qualifying group. I'm not underestimating by any stretch of imagination, but at full Hampden, and they've no longer got Shevchenko as a manager as well. He was a good motivator. I think they're a side that at Hampden we can definitely topple on our day.
Well, they didn't win a game in qualifying, Gordon. You just alluded to this a minute ago. They didn't win a game until match day 7 when they beat Finland. And then their second win of qualifying was in the final game, which was against Bosnia. So they opened up with 6 draws and then 2 sandwiched between match day 7 and 10. But as you rightly point out, Gordon, 2 of them were against France. So black and white, 2 wins and the rest draws, you're thinking, you know what, that's not so good. But then when you compare some of their, well, the 2 draws against France to some of the other results for peripheral nations, I think you can call them, you have to say, oh, hold on a minute. Considering they got to the quarters as well, maybe a fortuitous run, John, as you say, but they are an impressive team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think really, if I can sort of clarify my statement earlier, the way I would look at these unseeded teams, I think my choices 1 through 5 are arguably much of a muchness. I have a preference of the order that I've put them in, but really 1 through 5, I'd be happy with any of them, really. And it's the 6th one that I definitely don't want, which I think we'll get onto, and I think you can probably guess which one that is.
We'll run through a couple of Ukraine's key players and ones that we all might know. Yarmolenko has over 100 caps and he's got 44 goals, West Ham attacker. Ronan Yaremchuk, Benfica attacker, 36 caps, 12 goals. And Man City's left-sided player, Alexander Zinchenko, is nearing 50 caps and he's got 8 goals. I think he plays for a left-back for Man City, but I think he's more of a midfielder for Ukraine. I think, as we've seen with some of the peripheral nations that have 1 or 2 standout players, they quite often get bumped up from defence to midfield if they're that good, which seems to be the case with Zinchenko. Looking back at Scotland's games against Ukraine, I think the game against Denmark recently, the consensus on Twitter seemed to be that was Scotland's best performance or best game at home, John, since the last time we played Ukraine, which would have been in 2007, qualifying for Euro 2008, 3-1 victory.
Yeah, well, that Ukraine game was my favourite Scotland game. Possibly the Denmark one might rival that now. There was a lot of factors in that because it followed the back of France. Three of our club sides had done well in Europe the week before. From a personal point of view, it was my mum's birthday that day. So, you know, it was a great day out in the sun. And it was the last time until the Denmark game that I think Scotland played with a swagger against a team of that calibre. You know, of course, that Ukraine team had Shevchenko and, you know, reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup, which was pretty impressive. So, but yeah, I think, I mean, Yarmolenko's a top talent, and I'm not underestimating Ukraine by any stretch of imagination. There are a side that I'd like, but if you're pointing out that, you know, it takes away Russia if we get the Ukraine, let's be honest, the chances that FIFA and will microwave the Portugal and Italy balls to make sure that they're kept apart, you know, are very high. So probably best
you
not
you can't
have
see on this podcast John wearing his tin hat, tin foil hat.
Well, let's move on to Turkey then. They are another unseeded team. They have Norway to thank probably for the fact that they managed to make it to the playoffs. Norway were in that position and then they drew with Latvia in their penultimate game and couldn't get the better of Holland in the final game, allowing Turkey to jump above them into second place. At the moment, Turkey are 37th in the world rankings. They've just moved up two places. They're actually just one place above us now, and then Scotland up to 38th. Now, Turkey are a really strange one, guys, right? So they're a terrible Euros. They went in as one of they were called the dark horses, weren't they? People expected them to be what Denmark were in the end. John down there raising his hand. Yeah, you're not alone. But they were dreadful. Wales beat them 2-0. They lost in the opening game 3-0 to Italy. They were battered. And they lost 3-1 to Switzerland as well. They went out without a point. But since then, they've only lost one of their subsequent seven games, which was against Holland. They were thumped 6-1 by Holland. But they beat Holland 4-2 only in March in the same qualifying campaign. So, Gordon, what the hell do we expect from Turkey?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I have absolutely no idea, because you're right. You look at the results over the past year and, yeah, you've got absolutely sublime performances smashing the Netherlands, and then you've got absolutely hilarious performances getting smashed by the Netherlands. You know, all of their performances at the Euros were pretty abject. I think you look at their recent form, though, because I think, you know, obviously we've spoken about how Scotland used the Euros as a springboard and have come out of it and have really improved since then. And I think Turkey probably fit in that same boat as well. You know, you look since the Euros, they've only got one loss, and that was the aberration to the Netherlands when they went down 6-1 in September. So I think the worry about Turkey is that you just don't know which Turkey are going to turn up. And that worries me. I've got them as my fourth choice for the playoffs. Maybe I should swap them with Ukraine potentially. I wouldn't be super happy. At least we've got the game at home. I certainly wouldn't want to have an away game against Turkey. No. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's a complete game changer having to go over to play Turkey, John. They had a good qualifying campaign for the Euros in the summer. They actually had the same record as Scotland had in this current campaign. And Turkey also, they were unbeaten against France in that qualifying campaign for the Euros. They beat them 2-0 and drew 1-1. Their only defeat was against Iceland. So look, Turkey went in with the dark horse reputation on merit. It's not like people just looked at them and thought, you know what, they'll do. They can be the surprise package this year. They actually had shown that they were capable of big results at big moments and just didn't produce it on the nights in question in the Euros. But since then, as we've just said, they have recovered somewhat and they managed to get into the playoffs, which I think they probably felt was pretty unlikely with the way things were going.
Yeah, as Gordon says, you just don't know which Turkey's going to turn up. I mean, you just look at the match results. They beat Holland 4-2 at home, which was impressive. They went to Norway and battered them 3-0 away. And you're obviously thinking, that's a side that's going to romp to qualification. Then they draw it home to Latvia. You think, what is going on here? You know, they really are a Jekyll and Hyde team. So, you know, you just don't know which Turkey is going to turn up. And I think that's why people would probably want to avoid them. Personally, I've got them at number 3. And my preferred list, and we'll also come to reasons why they're that high up and not further down that other people might have. But I suppose I'm clinging on to the fact that, you know, they might not travel great, although they have managed to go to France and get points and stuff. But I just wonder if they'll buckle at Hampden. You just never know. I mean, I know they're used to playing hostile atmospheres. I mean, they play at home and win, but maybe our Hampden crowd might be too much for them. Who knows?
Yeah, it just underlines the importance of the seeding and the definite home draw when you've got countries like this in the mix. Interestingly, and thanks to Air Force One on Twitter for this, we haven't played Turkey since 1960, a friendly in 1960 when Turkey beat us 4-2. And you think about the amount of friendlies that Scotland have had over the years, especially in the last 20 years, it seems like we've covered every blade of Europe, or they've come to us for at least some sort of friendly game. But Turkey, yeah, we've never played them really, Gordon, certainly not in our lifetime, certainly not in many people's lifetimes. So at least with Turkey, don't know if this is grasping at straws here, I'm not using it as a positive anyway, but it's a change of pace. It would be quite unusual and exciting.
Yeah, no, it absolutely would be, you know, having never played them competitively. And funnily enough, actually, on Ukraine, we've only actually played Ukraine twice. Those games in Euro 2008 qualifying were the only times we've ever played them as well. So, yeah, there's a fair bit of uncharted territory to go for in this group. But, yeah, don't fancy Turkey much.
the Turkish danger men are the ones that stand out anyway. Burak Yilmaz, the Lille forward who's got almost a goal every couple of caps for Turkey. He's scored 30. Hakan Çalhanoğlu of Inter Milan, well-known name. He's got 14 goals and he's a set-piece specialist. And Demiral in defence, the Atalanta defender, bit of a tough guy. And Kaglar Soyuncu of Leicester, another name that many of us will be familiar with. He's one of their centre-halves. So, yeah, they've got European-level players, certainly, Turkey. And I think it's just thankful that we don't have to deal with their European-level crowd if we were to draw them. Now, we put out a message on Twitter asking people for their opinions on who Scotland should want to draw and who they should want to avoid. A lot of people seem to think that Poland would be the worst possible draw for Scotland here. They are 27th in the world rankings. That's down 4. They finished 2nd in their qualifying group behind England, but they were beaten by Hungary in their final game, although it's worth mentioning that Hungary are no diddies these days. They had a couple of strong performances against France and Germany and the Euros as well, didn't they, Hungary? They held Portugal for quite long before eventually imploding in the last 10 minutes. Now, Poland were high scorers in the qualifiers. They scored 30 goals. I think there's a contributing factor towards that is Robert Lewandowski. Now, is one man enough for Scotland to be quaking in their boots at the prospect of Poland, John?
I mean, he's obviously probably the best out-and-out striker in world football. But can he be shackled? Yeah, I mean, I think if we can cut the supply to him, you know, that's always something that we could do. Got to remember, Poland did not have a good Euros and they relied heavily on him in the Euros. I mean, they were beaten by Slovakia, which I thought was a shocking result because Slovakia are not a great side right now. You saw that when they got hammered by Spain and when we beat them in the Nations League. Albeit our reserve team didn't lose to them, but only just. But I think if you can stop the supply to Lewandowski, then that's half the battle. But that's easier said than done, of course. But then our defenders are playing well. You know, that's something else that we've managed to see recently. I mean, there was practically a new back three for that game against Denmark with Suter and Cooper coming in alongside Tierney. And now you've got the argument, do they stay in the team? Does Hanley and Hendry or McTominay all come back? You know, these are good questions to ask. So, you know, with that confidence, you know, they won't be too frightened. I mean, yeah, it'll be obviously a bigger test coming up against Lewandowski, but I think they'll relish it, our defenders.
We've got another 4 months to either dream or have nightmares about it. They did have a terrible Euros, Poland. They were beaten by Slovakia, as you say, and Sweden, but they drew with Spain, Gordon. So much like most of these nations, what are you going to get from them? Because they're pulling impressive results out at the same time as they're losing games they probably would expect to win.
Yeah, I don't like this draw at all. I think, you know, especially considering, you know, this is a one-off semi-final game as well. You know, those are the kind of games you need a winner in 90 or 120 minutes. These are the kind of games that an elite level Ballon d'Or level striker can decide. And Lewandowski is that man. Obviously, the last time we played him was Euro 2016 qualifying. We drew 2 weeks. Lewandowski scored twice. And I just think when you're going up against a team where that has a striker that can score from anything, create something out of nothing, and let's not forget, they have plenty other talent as well. I mean, Arkadiusz Milik is a very, very talented player, you know, and, you know, they have others through the team.
Christoph Piotek from Hertha Berlin.
Yep. Yeah. They've just added Matty Cash, that famous Polish right back from Aston Villa. I don't like this draw in the slightest. Also, especially because knowing that having played Poland, we would then have to go the following Tuesday to play someone else. You know, you think about how much we'd have to put into a game to get past a team like Poland. If we're going to win, you could see us then limping into a playoff final if we were lucky enough to get there.
Would that not be the same though, even if we played Turkey or Czech Republic or whoever?
Of course it would be, yeah. I mean, because again, that is something that I've been saying since day one, you know, that this process of playoffs is going to be so much harder than it was for the Euros, because in the Euros, because of COVID, we were lucky that they split them in half and we had one in October and one in November. This isn't the case this time. It's two in a week, and that is going to be unbelievably difficult for us to get through, no matter who we play. But there are better draws than Poland.
Yeah, well, I should clarify, actually, just for anyone who's just picking up on the Scotland train, that this draw is done so that Scotland will know their potential final opponent when the draw for the semi-finals are made. So there are three groups of four. It's maybe wrong to call them groups, but there are four.
They call them paths.
Paths, yeah. Okay, so there are three paths, each with four in it, because there are 12 playoff teams. So it's a seeded team and an unseeded team, another seeded team and an unseeded team, and that is two semis and a final. And then yes, repeat and repeat once more. So Scotland will know who the playoff final potentially is when they draw the semi.
Where it's going as well.
Mm-hmm. Which is decided at random.
At the same time, well, it's decided at random, because it'll be the same way as, if you remember, for Euro 2020 playoffs, when we were playing Israel, we knew that we would be playing the winner of Norway or Serbia away from home before the semi-final was even played, and that will be the same situation here.
Mm-hmm. Right, so Poland not high on your priority list then, Gordon. John, what are you feeling?
I've actually put Poland at four, and I'll give you, we'll obviously come to the other two, why I'll have them as five and six, but yeah, Poland, not my preferred option, definitely in the bottom three.
Yeah, and do we think that Robert Lewandowski impacts that very heavily? He is probably, yeah, the best striker in the world, I would say. He's got 74 goals and 128 caps. He could well reach 100 goals, really. I don't know his age off the top of my head, maybe 33. That could be total shite, but I think maybe roughly something like that. You look like you're Googling. 33, there we go. I knew it all along. yeah, so he could well crack on for another few years. And yeah, Christoph Piatek, Milik, Zielinski of Napoli, Matthias Klick of Leeds. So these guys are serious operators. And yep, they had a bad Euros. But yeah, they're absolutely a force to be reckoned with. Recent meetings, we've covered the 2-2-1 at Hampden there, which the Stephen Fletcher goal, for me, one of my favourite Hampden moments of all time. If we'd held on and that goal went on to mean something in the long term, it would be very hard to beat that one for me. We had a good result over in Poland as well, though, Gordon. So Stephen Naismith and Maloney scored over there. That was a good performance. You were there, right?
Second trip. Yeah. What a trip. Loved it.
Yeah, and we beat them in a friendly as well around that time too. Scott Brown, I think, scored quite a thumping winner from the edge of the box.
That was Andy Robertson's debut.
Wow.
Yeah, we had the friendly against them in March that year, and the friendly had been arranged before the draw was made, so it ended up being a sort of dress rehearsal.
I think, was that when Andy Robertson was called in as backup for someone, and then...
Well, I think he was brought in because the Strachan wanted some extra bodies in training, so he brought in some players from the 21s, and Andy Robertson impressed so much that he ended up getting a place in the full team.
Well, what a way to do it.
Yeah. Is that game not live in the Daily Record website as well?
That sounds about right, you know. We had a friendly in Czech Republic that I might be getting confused this year when Anya scored a winner. Was it maybe that one? That was around the same time, but I'm pretty sure you're right, John, that was streamed live. What a bizarre set of circumstances. so that's Poland out of the way. You don't fancy them, Gordon. John, you're not that fussed either, right? What about North Macedonia? Just nod if you want them as first choice. You're both nodding. Okay. Now, this fills me with extreme dread and trepidation, to be honest, North Macedonia. I think it's maybe just the pessimist in me. They pipped Romania by a point, which I think was more or less decided in the penultimate match day when Romania drew 0-0 with Iceland and North Macedonia went to Armenia and won 5-0. They also were at the Euros in the summer, North Macedonia, their first major tournament. They left with 0 points in the same group as Holland, Austria and Ukraine. But they did have their moment. Goran Pandev scored, which will go down in Macedonian football history. So they are the lowest ranked team. They're not diddies anymore. They might have been when we drew them with Burley in charge at the start of the Strachan era, and we all expected to turn up really and just beat Macedonia by virtue of our presence, John. But those days are changed.
Definitely. I mean, they're no mugs, and I actually would argue that their performance in getting to the World Cup playoff is more impressive than their route to the Euros, because no disrespect, but they came through the Nations League Group D path, didn't they? You know, to get through that, and you know, they've done well to get through it, because you still got to put sides like Georgia who aren't easy, but, and we know about that, but to come through this group, I think they were what, fourth or fifth seeds, and they finished second ahead of Romania, Iceland, who were you know, a second seed not too long ago. You know, that is pretty impressive, and don't forget they went to Germany and won. So yes, whilst Gordon and I are nodding saying that would be our preferred option, that's not to say that we underestimate this team. And remember, I mean, the last time they came to Hampden, they got a draw and deserved a draw, but then that was the dark days of Craig Levein and Jamie Mackey, etc. That fills me with dread.
There's a, yeah, they beat Germany, which is an outstanding result. It seems that there's a theme in common here almost, that each of these countries has pulled out a marquee victory the same way that we did against Denmark on the final match day, which I think is something that we had been missing for a wee while in Scotland. I know we pulled out some big results. We almost beat England. We got the win against Slovakia. But going back to the campaign before that, we didn't hold on against Poland. We didn't go to Dublin and win. So, you know, that sort of result had been missing for us for quite a long time, Gordon. It does seem to be a running theme here for the countries that have made it into the playoffs.
Oh, of course it does. Because, like, you know, for teams that have finished in their top two in World Cup qualifying groups, you're talking about the top 20 teams in Europe by that metric. And, you know, there's 55 countries in Europe. So for anybody to finish in the playoff places is a big, big achievement, no matter what their group looks like, no matter what team they are. And I think you're right. I think John's absolutely bang on. I think you can draw quite a lot of parallels between what Macedonia have achieved in recent times and what Scotland have achieved. I think the Nations League has been good for them in the same way that the Nations League has been good for us. And certainly, just because they are our preferred draw, they will be a challenge. And I think they would provide a very different challenge at Hampden than a team like Denmark would, because I think Macedonia would probably come and sit in quite deep and look to counter on us. And that would be a real challenge for us to pick apart a deep-lying team. You'd like to think we've got the technical players that can do that now, but it's another challenge, you know. And we always talk about how Scotland sometimes thrive when they are the underdogs. They would be big, big, heavy favourites then. And that would be a heavy burden to carry into a game like that. So games like this against a team like Macedonia would bring its own challenges. But I think we could certainly, we would absolutely be looking to win that game, 100%.
Yeah, it's funny, John, how the pendulum of opinion can swing from one end of the spectrum to the other. I had two comments today in my notifications on Twitter, one after the other, after I put out the call for opinions. Damon McLaughlin, North Macedonia, an absolute no-brainer. The one right under it, Callum Ray, Macedonia would be our worst draw. They'd sit in. It's directly one next to the other. And it's a valid argument, I think. Yes, they are the weakest team. And in terms of personnel, anyway, they've got no Pandev anymore. I think he's called it a day at international level. They've got Alexander Trzyczkowski, plays for Aalborg over in Denmark. He's got 19 goals and 74 caps. Elif Elmas is a Napoli midfielder, young Napoli midfielder. He's got 37 caps at only 22 years old, so he's fairly racking up the experience. So they've got players that play at decent levels and can harm Scotland, as they have done to Germany in their qualifying campaign. It's fair to recognise at the same time, though, that they would be our easiest draw. Just because they're the worst team, probably, of the unseeded teams, does that mean it would be the easiest game for us?
On paper, you think so, but, you know, as we know from our experience in the past, the so-called easiest teams is the hardest one, because as Gordon mentioned, that weight of expectation then goes even further because we've beaten the likes of Denmark. We've went to Austria and got that signature result that was missing for so long. Macedonia at home shouldn't be a trepidation, but it could be the biggest stumbling block, depending on the mentality. And then you've got a different atmosphere within the home crowd because they're turning up expecting victory, and the first sign of frustration, you know, it turns a jovial crowd into one that gets on the players' backs, which isn't good. But ultimately, when you analyse where they are in the rankings, the strength that, of them compared to ours, they are the weaker team, and that is the draw that you would want. So, yeah, whilst we're playing up Macedonia a wee bit more, I still would want number one ahead of the other five.
Number one for you as well, Gordon?
Yep, absolutely. Respect them, but beat them.
They are 67th in the world rankings. That's up 7 in the last update. They've only lost once since the Euros, and that was to Germany, who they beat 2-1 in March. And I think as it was pointed out to me by someone on Twitter, I can't quite remember who, sorry at the moment, but they went to Armenia and won 5-0. And Armenia are, well, I certainly wouldn't describe them as a complete diddy nation, Armenia. I mean, they're a lowly nation, but they're not Gibraltar. They're not Moldova, for example. So, North Macedonia changed days from 10, 12 years ago. And of course, they've enjoyed the victory over us over in their own patch. So history is just about on their side for that one. Right, let's go to Austria now. Very recent experience, fellas, of playing Austria. Took 4 points from them in the qualifying group. London Lakes penalty over in Vienna, and Hanley and McGinn at Hampden in a 2-2 draw. They are up 2 in the latest world rankings to 30th. They had a pretty good Euros, actually, Austria. They beat Ukraine in the group stage, who are one of the unseeded teams as well, as we've covered. And they took Italy all the way, Gordon, in the first knockout stage. I think it was Chiesa that scored in extra time to eventually put them out.
Yeah, absolutely. But I would absolutely be more than happy to see them back at Hampden. I think, you know, every now and again in these sort of situations, it can be a sort of better the devil, you know, type situation. And I think we've shown in the last year that we're very much on a par with a team like Austria and should have nothing to fear from them. Obviously, the striker, Sasa Kalajic, who was an absolute handful in the game against March. He scored twice against us. I think he probably should have had a hat-trick, but he got one chalked off fortuitously. He's obviously been injured for a while, but he should be back by March. So there's something to fear there. But no, I think overall, I think I'd be very comfortable with drawing Austria in the semi-final.
Well, they're in the playoffs by virtue of the Nations League. They couldn't get in from the qualifying stage because, well, we finished second.
Pumped them.
So they won their Nations League group, which had Norway, Romania and Northern Ireland in it. So Norway just can't seem to catch a break, can they? they're the one place out in almost everything I look at. But it was close, though. I found out today, actually, just when I was researching this, they won that Nations League group courtesy of a last-minute goal from Adrian Gurbic. 94th-minute goal against Norway in the last game, which took 2 points off Norway and added an extra one on to Austria for them to get there. So, yeah, fine margins. We've got players, they've got players we've heard of, David Alaba, one of those defensive players that gets put into midfield because he's that good. Alexander Dragovic, Red Star Belgrade, centre-half. If Austria were to reach the final, it would be as 100th cap. They've got Marko Arnautovic, Marcel Sabitzer of Bayern Munich, and Sasa Kalajic, as you've said, Gordon. Strong start to his international career. Bayer Leverkusen's Baumgartner as well. He'll probably be playing on Thursday against Celtic in Europa League. So this is a team, John, that Scotland have beaten and have shown that they are at least as good as. Where do they rank for you?
I'm really surprised you see it. I've actually got them 5th. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I think it's partly because, you know, we've been playing them so often recently. They're almost becoming an Israel. Not quite there yet, though. But remember when we beat them in away from home and we did very well. It's a great performance. Not why I've taken anything away. But they were missing a couple of key players, especially Kalajic. He was such a handful in that game at Hampden. And if we, you know, were to get them again, they're going to be strong. I mean, they're very well beaten Israel in the penultimate game there. Okay, there was two teams with nothing to play for eventually, but they were 2-1 down and they came back to win 4-2. And apparently, they played very, very well. So I don't know if I'd want them again for those couple of reasons, although maybe the logic should be that I should be putting them ahead of Poland.
Gordon, you said you're pretty comfortable with it. Where are they on your list?
They're third. Third for me. But I think John's got a good point, though, that they did finish strongly in World Cup qualifying. Obviously, they got that 4-2 win against Israel. Then they got a 4-1 win against Moldova to close out the group. So I did have my eye on them as looking at how their form would be, because I was thinking they're going to have to get it together soon, knowing that they're in the playoffs in March. And they did do that. So, yeah. But no, I'm happy with third.
They did hit a real low point, didn't they? Because they were thumped by Israel on match day five, I think it was, the same night that we were beaten by Denmark, which made things not as difficult as they might well have been after we got beat by Denmark. Because I remember doing the podcast after that thinking, I think the tone of the podcast was largely, how does Scotland turn this around for the rest of the group? Because Denmark have just ripped us limb from limb. But that kind of kept the door slightly ajar for us and we didn't just sneak through it in the end, really. We burst it down with five.
Which we then went and beat in a row, yeah. Austria.
Learned this today that, where is it? I've written it down somewhere. The only two matches in the qualifying campaign, the only two countries to win their last five matches of the qualifying campaign were Germany and Scotland. Yeah. So we're in good company there. John, Ross Hamilton is thinking similarly to you. He says the only team he doesn't want is Austria. It also outlines that Macedonia are no mugs anymore and that Scotland are better as underdogs. But he says only team he doesn't want is Austria, and he would prefer the opportunity for revenge against the only team we haven't covered yet, Czech Republic. So we have very recent history with them, much like we do with Austria. They were in our group for the Euros. They beat us 2-0 at Hampden in a game which was a bit of a weird one, Gordon, because Czech Republic scored one of the best goals the Euros has ever seen. And it wasn't really until the second half that Scotland got going. Clark selected a team that many people raised their eyebrows at. And we couldn't break them down to get the equaliser. And then they went and scored the second goal. John's aired his concern about familiarity with Austria. Have you got anything similar on your mind about the Czech Republic here?
No. I've got the Czechs second in my list. I would love to see them back at Hampden, because I have never left a game of football more baffled by what I'd seen in front of me than that game at the Euros, because just in no world was that a 2-0 game. I mean, we created so many chances. We had so many openings. We hit the bar. We hit the post. We had one on the top of the net. We had incredible saves from the goalkeeper. But at the same time, thinking that it wasn't a very good Scotland performance either. Because like you said, we didn't start well. The first half was poor. And funnily enough, actually, you know, we obviously went with the system that we used to perfection against Moldova and Denmark in terms of having one central striker with sort of midfielders supporting. That did not work against Czech Republic. Maybe we had to go through that Euros experience for it to work, but that works for us now. So whether we went with a Dykes and Adams up front in the playoff, or whether we went with Adams with Armstrong and McGinn like we did against Denmark, I'd feel so much more confident going into a rematch against the Czech Republic at Hampden. And of course, knowing that it's a full Hampden rather than 12,500 fans. So yeah, I'd be delighted to see the Czechs again.
Look, they're a team full of firepower. Let's not forget about that. They've got Adam Klozet, the young Sparta Prague forward, who probably will play against Rangers this week. They've got Patrick Schick. We're familiar with him. They've got Socek in midfield, who is a bit of a powerhouse. So I've kind of broken this down into reasons to be confident and also worried about Czech Republic. So Wales took 4 points from them in qualifying. They finished third in that group with Wales and Belgium. They drew with Ukraine. They were beaten by Denmark in the quarterfinals of the Euros, who we just beat 2-1. But they also knocked Holland out of the Euros. And they've also drawn recently with Croatia and Belgium. So the Czechs, John, are massively capable of pulling out a result when it matters.
Bottom of my list, and the reasons I've done that is the history that we've had against them, and they were very, very good in the Euros. You know, they did very well to get to that quarterfinal, and it was only penalties that put them out against Spain. You know, let's not forget that. You know, it was having put out Holland in the round before, you know, that was pretty impressive. Yes, and obviously Patrick Schick, who I still cannot believe, even though he was joint top scorer, was not named in the team of the tournament. He should have been first name in that team sheet in the team tournament, to be perfectly honest. You know, he's just a threat. But what I will say is that day we missed a certain player that makes our system work, and that was Kieran Tierney. Liam Cooper had a decent game, but he doesn't offer the same as what Tierney offers in that left centre back position with that combination with Robertson. So
was Tierney, Alan McGregor dropped too?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was dropped for Stuart Armstrong, who didn't have a good game, who I don't think works in the system, but then he did come on and play well against Denmark, to be fair. So maybe that's an impact.
And of course, Billy Gilmore hadn't made his competitive debut either. So, you know, we are, as much as they might be a different beast to what they were in the summer, I think we've come on leaps and bounds since then. So, yeah, I'd have no fear playing them. And like we said before, all these teams are good. Like, you can't finish second in a World Cup qualifying group without being really good and without getting some really good results. So we're all good and we all deserve to be here, 100%.
The thing that I'm looking at it is, Gordon, I mean, we're talking about, you know, reasons why we might not want this team or what we'd prefer that team. There's going to be podcasts around Europe that are having the same discussion about us, and I don't think we're going to be too high on people's lists given the form that we're on. So I think we should talk ourselves up. I mean, I'm not fearing anyone.
Do you not think that we will be being spoken about as the seeded lot, the way that we, and I'm sure the others, are maybe referencing North Macedonia? Do you think that's far from the case?
I think it depends how much homework people do. I think it would be quite easy for people to, in other countries in Europe, people in Ukraine, people in Turkey, to be looking at this draw and thinking, oh, Scotland, they always chuck it. They never qualify for anything. Glorious failure. That's what they do. We'll have them. Thank you very much. But anyone who's looked at how we've played in the last 6 to 8 months, I think they'd absolutely be saying what John's saying, that they'd think, God, this is a serious outfit now. You know, they've got real serious players playing at a very high level. You know, Alba Mater, Andy Lang did a really good piece. I think it was actually, was it before the Euros, when he wrote a piece almost like looking at this Scotland team from foreign eyes. And it is incredible. We've got some great players, and now we've got the form to back it up. We've got the system to back it up. We've got the stadium and the fans to back it up. Yeah, you're right. No other team in Europe should be wanting to come to Hampden right now.
So just go back to the list thing you guys had going on. I didn't actually devise one, but we'll just ask you both, who are your preference? Who's your first preference for the draw?
Macedonia,
yep.
And who are you most frightened of drawing?
Poland.
Czech Republic.
Okay, interesting. Well, I would say on my end, I think that I would quite like Austria. I think that I'd be comfortable with Austria. North Macedonia scares me. It just does. I know that we're better than them, but it just scares me. And if you ever ask me the same question after the draw, or maybe even near the playoffs, I might as well change my mind. And
Macedonia, I was going to say, I've not been in this state very often, but the first game of World Cup 2010 qualifying, when George Burley took us to play in Macedonia and we lost 1-0, and that just set the tone for that whole campaign. One of the few times that I've aggressively drunk after a game to try and forget what came before. Honestly, just a horrible day, a horrible night, and a horrible next day.
Yeah. I would least like to draw... my instinct says Turkey. So I'm going to stick with it. Right, well, let's remember, of course, that this is not a one-game situation. We're very likely to have to play, or not very likely, but we may well have to play one of Europe's powerhouses in the final. Portugal or Italy could lie in wait for us. Russia could lie in wait for us. Wales or Sweden could lie in wait for us, or any of the unseeded teams. I didn't actually go this far with my preparation. I didn't think we would cover it. But Gordon, you said you've had a wee think about the potential finals or the other seeded teams for Scotland.
Yeah, I have. I've looked into it. Maybe again, this is sort of looking beyond a little bit, but I would say Sweden would be my first pick for a team to play. I think their form since the Euros has not been particularly good at all. Let me just pull it up. Yeah, since the Euros, they've lost in Greece, they've lost in Georgia, they've lost in Spain. So yeah, I don't think there should be anything particularly to fear, despite obviously the fact they are still a very good side. My second pick, I would say, I would love to see Wales. You know, I think we've got fairly recent history with Wales. I've seen us lose to Wales more times than I care to think about. And I think it would be a fantastic event and night to play them again in a playoff for a tournament. I mean, they are, again, a good side. And they're one of those really frustrating teams that seems to pull out unbelievable results when it matters. I mean, the fact on the last day of qualifying, they got a draw against Belgium. And I'm so, so glad that we were not watching that game needing Belgium to win.
I know. That just stunk of Ireland against Germany in 2016 qualifying, didn't it?
Exactly. Then I would probably say, and I think as well, you know, a lot of this depends on how the draw goes in terms of, are we going to be at Hampden or are we going to be away from home for the final? That, you know, I said on Twitter the other day that there's three things that would sort of give me great hope going into this draw. The first one is that we get a decent draw for the semi-final. The second one is that we get to host the final. And the third one is that we don't get Portugal and Italy in the final. That would be big for me. So yeah, Sweden, Wales, Russia are the next one. And again, Russia, there's a bit of unfinished business there. We got blown away by them in Euro 2020 qualifying. But that was so early in Steve Clarke's reign. We are such a different beast now. I wouldn't mind having them again, particularly at Hampden. And then Portugal and Italy. I mean, for God's sake, like, Portugal won Euro 2016, Italy won Euro 2020.
I know, again, the fucking Irish here.
What are you guys doing?
I know, Northern Ireland holding Italy and the Republic holding Portugal, both to 0-0 draws, I think it was, wasn't it? And then both ended up in the playoffs. We'll go through the answers that I put out on, that I called for on Twitter today, because quite a lot of people are, you know, desperate to obviously avoid Portugal and Italy, but some people seem to think that we'd be better off playing them as an underdog rather than at home to maybe Sweden or something. I think though as well, though, that it would just be the best full circle moment if we reached the World Cup by beating Russia, who Steve Clarke said after the defeat in Moscow, this is our lowest point. If our highest point, well, to date anyway, under Clarke, then came by beating them, what would that be? 2.5 years later? Yeah, 2.5 years after that defeat. Yeah, that would be absolutely tremendous. So we'll go through now some of the comments on Twitter. I'll just have a run through, John, before I come to you for your desires for the potential final opponent. So Scotland fan, just simply Scotland fan on Twitter, a good supporter of the podcast. He says the pressure is all on Italy and Portugal. And then he says, avoid Wales. He'd like Sweden at home in the final. Terry Jackson says he'd take any of the unseeded teams except Poland. So I think he's similarly aligned to you, Gordon. We've got Ethan, who says a home draw for the final is a must. He's dreading Russia away, but he would quite enjoy Ukraine at Hampden. Ross Hamilton, I think we covered him earlier. He says the only team he doesn't want is Austria. He'd prefer revenge against Czech Republic. Andy Lang from Albemarle says, this is an interesting one. He says he wants a team in decline. So who would that be, John?
From the ones that we can get.
For the unseeded, yeah, for the unseeded.
Yeah, unseeded, yeah. That's a difficult one, because North Macedonia is a team on the rise, so by that logic, he doesn't want them. You could potentially argue, Ukraine in a way, but then Gordon points out that the results were actually not bad.
Post they drew against France twice as well in the qualifying. So
exactly. Possibly that means he's went to Austria, the lots of things. But then, as I said, Austria were missing players in that game against Scotland as well. So it's much of a muchness. But yeah, if it's going by his logic, is Poland maybe one as well that he's thinking?
Possibly, but then I guess in a group with England, you never really necessarily expect them to win the group. I think if you're looking for teams in decline, you're probably more looking at the seeded teams and potentially looking at a team like Portugal, because like we said, what are they doing here? Like, why are they in the playoffs? Like, they don't belong here. So why not?
Why not?
God, because they didn't mark Mitrovic in the last minute. Because they didn't mark Mitrovic in the last minute of the game.
Well, you know, look, honestly, I said this on Twitter when that happened. You know, you just simply have to say fair play to Serbia for being bodied by us out of the Euros playoffs and using that as the inspiration to then win the World Cup qualifying group. You know, that is quite the comeback for Serbia.
Well, Andrew Winton, he's not leaving himself much wiggle room here. He says that Turkey, Ukraine and Poland all scare him. So you only get a few others to choose from. We've got Michael Gratham, who says that Italy or Portugal at home rather than Wales or Sweden away. That's an interesting point. So would you rather play one of the big guns at Hampden than have to go to Scandinavia or where is it that Wales plays? It's Cardiff City Stadium, isn't it? Would you rather be in that position? That underlines that Scotland are often at their best when the odds are stacked against us.
I get that logic. I mean, ideally, I'd rather not have Portugal or Italy at all. But if you are going to get them, you're, again, wanting to have them at Hampden. And we're talking about unfinished business and revenge, etc. Italy comes straight to mind from for not just 2007, but the 2005 game where I think we're very lucky not to hold out for victory when I think it was Grosso scored the late goal. That was when Kerry Miller scored a good header. And we looked so we were good for victory. Yeah, so to get one over at Hampden would be good, but I'd rather not have that scenario. But I do get the logic, you know, because you've maybe got a better chance at home against someone than away to, like, even, like, say Sweden or Wales, because, I mean, Wales have got a good record at the Cardiff City Stadium. Yeah. But revenge over them would be nice. We're due one on them.
I think as well, though, you know, like, again, another aspect of getting the home tie is that we're not going to be putting the Tartan Army in the position of having to book flights and travel and accommodation at potentially 4 days' notice. I mean, if you recall back to the Euros playoffs, I remember hearing about people who were booking travel to effectively put themselves equidistant between Serbia and Norway, because obviously you wouldn't know which one you're going to until full time in the semi-final. In fact, actually, you wouldn't even know if you're going because you don't know if you've won the semi-final. I mean, the way these playoffs work is utterly bonkers, especially for fans.
I think it was Rory Hamilton who we had in the podcast last year. I think he had booked a trip to Austria, I think just because that was a handy point where he could then get a flight for about 20, equivalent of 20 quid to Norway
or get a train to Serbia.
Yeah.
That's insane. You know, that's, I mean, think about that. You know, you might not know until 10 o'clock on the Thursday night if on the Tuesday you need to be in, you know, Moscow or Vienna.
Yeah. Crazy. Could be some very unpopular bosses around that time next March, potentially. Beer Hunters on Twitter seems very bloodthirsty for some Welsh revenge. I don't think he'll be alone in that one. I actually think that is the game that my nerves would be able to handle the least if we get drawn against the Welsh in a final, to be honest, John.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how I feel about the Wales one, because they've got two players who really make them tick, Bale and Ramsey. And if they two start, it's a real tough night. I mean, they showed that in the Euros against Turkey. Those two almost single-handedly blew Turkey away that night. Ramsey, you know, if it wasn't for injuries, he could have really went even further than when he's gone in his career, and he is a top player. But then we've earned the right to, you know, be in this situation. Hopefully we'll earn the right to play against Wales in the final if the draw is kind. So I'm not as fearful as Wales as Portugal and Italy, simple as that. And but I wouldn't mind a crack at Sweden either. I think their aside, if you talk about the top seeds, they're probably the one that look more in decline, as Gordon says, if a couple of really poor results against Greece and Georgia. So they don't strike me with the same fear as they might have done 5 or 6 years ago. But then that shows a lot for where we've come from as well. I think we've got to give ourselves more credit.
Callum Ray, as we've said, he stuck his neck on the line and said Macedonia would be the worst draw for us because they'd sit in and be hard to break down. He fancies Wales for the occasion, as does Damon McLaughlin in a potential final. Liam McLaughlin says anyone but Czech Republic in the semi. North Bank Runner, this is an interesting one, says that Sweden, Portugal and Poland are all relying on ageing strikers. What a luxury to have there. If we're relying on Cristiano Ronaldo or Robert Lewandowski, or suppose it would be Zlatan who's come back to play for Sweden again. I would certainly trade our strikers for their aging boys, Gordon.
Duff. I wouldn't. You kidding? Shea Adams. Honestly, don't you set that up. You know how I feel about Shea Adams. He's magnificent, and he's only getting better for us.
And Josh Endy, another good contributor to the pod. He wants Turkey or the Czech Republic if we don't draw Macedonia. So he seems to have like a one, then a two tier system for preference. Also hopes that the stars align for other tough games. So I suppose that would mean that he hopes Portugal and Italy. I know you alluded to it earlier, John, that he hopes that Portugal and Italy get drawn in the same path, which would be blockbuster, let's be honest.
Of course it would. What I will say about Portugal, they weren't great in the Euros. You know, they relied too heavily on Ronaldo penalties at times. But maybe closer to the game in March, not all going well at Manchester United, Scott McTominay could maybe give him a wee dig and put him out of the playoffs. That would be nice. But no, I mean, Portugal, if their star players turn it on, then it's going to be a hard night. But then they're not functioning as a team just now.
Right. So what we're going to do to finish off then is your best case scenario for the group of four, the two semis and the final that Scotland could get drawn in. And I've tried to think instinctively on this rather than look at it and plan ahead. But my best case scenario would be for Scotland to draw Austria and for Sweden to draw North Macedonia. That's my best case scenario. Gordon, we'll come to you.
I would probably have Macedonia in the semi-final, which we could hopefully be winning 2-0 halftime, feet up, cigars out for the second half. You know, get some guys subbed off, rested for a playoff final against either.
That's going to get stuck up in the Macedonian changing room.
I know. and I'd like to see us paired against, let's say, Wales or the Czech Republic. And if we could have that final at Hampden, I'd have a fair amount of faith in us getting to the final. Now, actually, one other thing that we have talked about before that did get flagged up last week is that it sounds like disciplinary rules and there may be a yellow card amnesty ahead of the draw. I have not heard anything further on that. I think that was going to have to happen before the draw. So hopefully we'll hear news about that this week, because that would be big, because quite a lot of teams are carrying quite a few yellow cards. I think Portugal and Italy are both carrying.
I think Turkey are in a right mess with that. I'm pretty sure 11 of their last squad gathering were on a booking or something like that. Yeah.
Italy's just really high, so that might influence it.
All right, John, what is your ideal four then?
Ideal four, Scotland versus Macedonia in our playoff semi-final, and for the other semi-final, to be Sweden versus Ukraine, a repeat of the Euros last 16.
Ah, Ukraine, interesting. I forgot about them off the top of my head, but I've said I can't change it now. Right, so the worst case scenario for me would be, I think, Turkey. I think that Turkey would be our worst case scenario in the semi. And then I wouldn't want Portugal or Italy. I don't know what one, so a toss-up. I'll just say Italy. Italy against Poland in the other semi. So Scotland, Turkey, Italy, Poland, I think would be worst case scenario. Come to you, Gordon.
I think I would completely agree with that. Or, you know, potentially, I mean, if it was Russia away from home in the final, again, that would be equally horrendous, given the amount of time zones you'd have to fly through to get there at short notice.
John, what are you dreading?
Dreading Czechs again. And I would be dreading Italy in the final.
Right. Okay. Well, let's hope that one of the best case scenarios happens. I've got this weird thing that I feel like even if we dream it into existence, the chances of it happening decline. I feel like it has to be an unspoken permutation for it to actually happen. Some draw that nobody's mentioned yet will be the one that gets drawn out of the hat. Now that you mentioned Ukraine, John, I'm really thinking about that again, maybe rather than Austria. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But yes, we'll also review the draw once it happens, and we'll have a look forward to the Nations League draw as well in a podcast coming up, because that's in a few weeks' time now, isn't it, as 16th well?
16th of December.
16th of December, yeah.
Brilliant. And we're also going to have a special end of season, Hampden Roar, where we'll be talking about game of the season, player of the season, goal of the season, moment of the season, all that sort of stuff.
Have an awards show.
All the good stuff, yeah. Let's hope that the draw goes, well, initially Scotland's way for the semi-final, and we'll see what happens on the other side of the draw. Thanks very much for tuning in. Again, everyone, please remember to subscribe. With Scotland's increasing success, the amount of people listening is going up, which is great to see. So hope that continues. And thanks very much for passing on the word and retweeting and getting in touch on Twitter. It's very much appreciated, Gordon and John. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. Pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.